On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We're brought to you by the great people, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the exact same thing. Mitch Tischler's here. Pete Haley's here. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Doing well. How you doing, JP?
Thumbs up, man. Doing all right. Peter?
I'm wearing my Mitch shirt, and I'm getting kind of sad because it's starting to fade just a little bit. So I'm nervous about it.
You guys can see that on the YouTube, NBC Sports Washington YouTube. They're still letting us post these podcasts, and you're going to want to watch this one because we got – I don't want to be hyperbolic here, but I think the biggest Redskins interview there is, right?
Second biggest.
All right. Hang on, Mitch. We're talking to Dwayne Haskins, the Redskins quarterback. A relatively tumultuous offseason for him with all the talk of drafting another quarterback. They traded for Kyle Allen. It's another new system, another new offensive coordinator. I was really, really impressed by Dwayne throughout this interview. He seems in a great place mentally. And I know that he's a competitor, and it all seems there. I'm impressed, and I want to thank the people at Pepsi for helping that come together, and Pepsi's pushing their Stronger Together thing, which is a really cool, I don't know,
effort. Initiative,
thank you. Effort to raise some money for people and just promote positivity. So check that out too, because we appreciate them. We're just gonna let Dwayne talk. And I kind of think maybe we can react afterwards. But real quick, I want to give you guys the opportunity. Does anybody want to revisit their predictions from schedule night? I have 6-10. Mitch is 7-9 and Pete is 8-8. Is that right?
I think I was 8-8 and Pete was 7-9. For everyone who's yelling about me being too bullish, A, you guys know that I'm that way anyway. And B, we're sitting here on May, whatever day it is, every day of quarantine. It's okay to look at the best possible scenario for things to happen. And I think I'm happy with where I sit. I think that I didn't go crazy like I did last year and say they were going to beat the Pats. Or, you know, say they were going to go walk in somewhere.
What was your record last year? You remember?
I think 9-7 last year. Or no, I had 8. It was either 8-8 or 9-7.
You definitely had them beating the Pats. I remember that.
Yeah, 100%.
I put $100 down that they were going to beat the Pats.
Big man's comfortable at 8-8. What say you, Peter?
Yeah, I feel comfortable. People were mad at me for saying the Redskins were going to lose to teams like the Bengals. I think I had them losing in the Lions in Detroit, which angered some folks. But an NFL season is full of ups and downs. And every year, it's funny. I've seen this point has been made. Redskins fans look around like, oh, we get the Bengals? That's such a layup. The Redskins have been a layup since 2000 for basically every other team in the NFL. No one is a layup for the Redskins, so you should not be surprised if they lose to the Bengals and the Lions. They are on those teams' levels right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I agree with the premise. I have a worse record than both of you. I think you're both a little bullish. I mean, I think 5-11 is quite possible too. I think they could have a good season but have a bad record, if that makes sense. I think there could be real growth, but I'm not sure it will be reflected in wins and losses.
I think it's easy to look at those first five games and see things go off the rails early in the season and have frustration set in. But to me,
I think, last year.
Yeah, there's still obviously a lot of questions on offense, but for me, we're sitting here. I'm happy to try and look at the best possible scenario, and I think 8 wins would be a hell of a season for them if somehow that came through.
I think it would too. Certainly. I just don't think it's going to happen. So I also wanted to talk about this. All these guys are doing their Zoom meetings now as players, as coaches with in position groups and with the coaches. We've had to sit in on a ton of Zoom meetings. Dwayne said, and you'll hear him, and I've heard other guys talk about, they actually think players are paying more attention in the Zoom meetings than they do in regular meetings. Just because, you know, when you're in a meeting room and if the coach is looking over here at the film, and you can kind of just like zone out in the back of the room, right? Like, I have zoned out of many a meeting. But when you're on Zoom, especially if it's a smaller group and everybody has their video up and everybody can see what you're doing, you're kind of busted. So I think they're all just trying to kind of put lipstick on a pig and say that it's good and here's how it's even actually better. And I don't think it actually is. But I was kind of just curious your guys' reaction.
I think that in some regards, this might be a little bit better for some players. Like if there's a player like JP out there, this is terrible for them because you just can't pay attention to anything. But I think when you're in the midst of a mini camp and there's lifting and practice and then meetings and then film and then, you know, and then lifting again, I think that stuff gets repeated over and over and over again. And when you're sitting in these meetings and they're going over film from practice, I think that some players sit there and they're like, we just did this. We're doing this again now. So if you're sitting here in a Zoom meeting for, you know, 2 hours a day, you kind of know that you got 2 hours where you're locked in with the coaches. It's the only time that you're really seeing them, talking to them, hanging out with them. And I think that they can probably get chop some wood and get some work done. And I think it's better for some positions. I think it's more helpful for some positions than others, but certainly for your quarterbacks and your wide receivers and stuff like that, I think this is a real big opportunity to get in line with the offense and start understanding what they're looking for.
I think if you look at Zoom meeting for 2 hours or regular meeting for 2 hours, maybe the Zoom meeting is more productive just side by side. But then in this world, that's it. They're only getting the 2 hour Zoom meeting. I think overall, a regular meeting and then practice and then lifting, you would be so much further ahead. Oh. So I think they're doing the best they can, but they're still going to be overall behind because they're losing all the other things. So maybe they're winning the battle. They're paying more attention to the concepts and learning on the chalkboard better, but they're losing the war. They're not getting the reps. Guys like Antonio Gandy-Golden aren't learning what it's like to face an NFL DB. There are other things that they're missing out on, clearly.
I think that's well said, Pete. There's no way it's as good. Like, yeah, maybe right. The meetings are better, but typically it'd be a whole damn day. And I think there's also the question just of – guys being able to stay in shape. I mean, you can do a ton of workouts at your house. I get that. But, like, linemen need squat racks.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's stuff that especially the bigger fellas might not be able to do at home. I don't know. I legitimately don't know enough. But especially young players, they're in condos and apartments. They might not have access to space. And it's going to be interesting and tricky. I think we speak for – all of our listeners, I just hope we have it. I got a lot of feedback to the schedule around that. Like, what do you think will actually happen? And we don't know, right? I certainly hope we're up and running, but it seems like baseball is going to be back sooner, right? How close is baseball?
I think all the leagues are trying to talk about early June, you know? I mean, I'm sorry, early July.
Like, reconvene in June, start playing in July.
Yeah, hopefully. So,
all right. Enough from us. Let's go to Dwayne Haskins. That's what you want to hear. Again, we are brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Specifically, go check out Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Alexandria, right there off the Beltway, just a stone's throw from the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. Great location. They can take care of you. Really good deals right now. Seriously, if you're looking to buy a car, right now is the time. All right, here comes Dwayne Haskins. Thank you to Pepsi for putting this together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Haskins takes a snap. Haskins fires at the middle. One-hand grab by Terry McLaurin for a Redskins touchdown.
Big, 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 big honor to have Dwayne Haskins join the podcast. Dwayne, thank you so much for taking the time. A lot to talk about. This has been a crazy offseason for a number of reasons. But I want to start. I saw on social media you've been doing some really cool work with Pepsi for their Stronger Together program, visiting hospitals, kind of the frontline healthcare workers that are fighting this coronavirus. I saw you hit Howard and the University of Maryland Hospital. Tell me a little bit about the work you're doing.
Yeah, so Pepsi and I, we joined together with Athletes First to work on Stronger Together community service. And it's just really just honoring our heroes in the community when it comes to people working in the hospitals, frontline workers, grocery store clerks, people who are still working during the coronavirus. And we're just trying to show that we're appreciative of all the hard work that they're doing.
That's very cool. And if I understand it right, if people apply online, they can get $1,000 grant or
Pepsi. You got an opportunity to win $1,000. It's pretty cool. So that's another special thing about what's going on with these guys.
Dude, everybody can use a G.
I can use it too.
Okay. Let's talk a little football. This is your offseason. You're the guy now. Last year was so different and difficult, and I really enjoyed and appreciated the piece you wrote for Redskins.com about your kind of personal growth as a rookie. But yeah. I want to talk about now. How is everything going? I mean, your Zoom meeting with your new quarterbacks coach, trying to learn a new offense. How's it all going?
Yeah, I mean, it's going great. Right now, honestly, I'm in the best shape of my life. We're meeting 4 times a week. You know, with Coach Zampezi and Coach Turner, we're installing these plays, and I'm just excited about going into the next year. So I'm really just looking forward to, like you said, being the guy, you know, leading the other guys in the locker room.
I remember last year talking with you during maybe like mini camp or early on in training camp, and you were saying that, you know, your goals were just to figure out the playbook and calling plays in the huddle. Mm-hmm. This year, it's another new system for you. It's a new terminology, all that stuff. Are you able to move faster with it now that you've been in the league for a year?
Yeah, definitely. Talking to Terry and Kelvin and Steve and fellow receivers, is having learned an offense prior to this offense, a lot of the terms are different as far as words and concepts, but like what you're learning is still the same as far as three level flood or throwing quick game concepts. And it's not necessarily as hard to pick it up because it's just a different language. So it definitely helps having learned an NFL offense prior to grasp it faster.
How's like the quarterback room now? I mean, obviously you have the relationship with Alex. You got a new guy in there with Kyle, new coach with Ken. How are those meetings going?
It's going great. I've known Kyle since I was in high school, not necessarily close, but knowing him as a recruit. And then, of course, having Alex in the room, Alex makes everybody comfortable. And then I'm a pretty easygoing guy. And then Zampezi and then Turner, they're great guys as well. So, I mean, even though it's virtual, it feels like it's, you know, very – very close-knit tight group, and, you know, I really, really enjoy our meetings.
I saw your tweet after watching Project 11, and I think what you said was, I mean, Alex is inspirational. How hard was it for you to watch that, knowing Alex personally?
Yeah, man, it's tough. I mean, having watched it firsthand, I mean, I remember walking into the training room, and, you know, you see his leg, and it's like, wow, like, you almost lost your life. Your leg's almost deformed. You're still trying to get back into playing shape, and he just never quits. Every day he's trying to find a way to grind and get better. And, you know, he was looking out for me a lot during the season, calling me. You know, we used to pull up at the same time at the facility, park next to each other. So, I mean, he's just a great dude.
Let's talk about some of the fun stuff. Schedule came out. I assume for you, for me, I'm just excited to have something to look forward to. A lot of kind of this new young group of quarterbacks you're going to face this year. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. Are you excited for kind of these new showdowns?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like growing up, you always used to watch those showdowns with Peyton and Tom and, you know, going all the way back to that time. And just the consistency that you saw every Sunday. And just now that being that new young group with, like you guys have mentioned, it's very exciting. Not only that, because you also know all of them. You trained with them before. You worked out with them. I mean, I haven't went to school with Joe for 2 years. So it's just crazy to think how far we all came since high school. Now we all get to compete against each other on the biggest stage. I'm looking forward to it.
What was it like for you watching Burrow's run at LSU last year?
I always thought Joe was going to have a good career at LSU. I wish him the best of luck when he left Ohio State. And even like this first year when he got there, he still played well. And then having those guys around him, and of course he's a very cerebral, intellectual guy, and he's going to make the right reads and call the right protections. And he's not going to make too many mistakes. So I wasn't surprised at all when he had the year that he had, and I was really proud of him.
What about the number 2 overall pick?
I mean, we talked about that during the season, JP. I was rooting for Chase. It's funny because like, I remember leaving to go to the NFL, and Chase was like, you think the rest is going to pick you? You going to pick me next year? I was like, I don't know. We'll see. And then, ironically, it happened. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I'm really excited about having him on my team.
That's crazy. And then, I mean, you mentioned the receivers earlier, Terry and Steve and Kelvin. You added a couple more weapons, a pair of Antonios. Antonio and Antonio Dandy Golden. Have you got to talk to those guys? You watched their tape? What do you think?
No, when AG said he was a playmaker, that got me fired up, man. He hit me up after the draft. It's like, you know, trying to figure out any tips and things he can learn about the offense, and trying to get AGG up here so we can throw the ball around a little bit and, you know, have that brother-run type of player we were kind of missing last year. So I'm excited about the additions we added this year, for sure, during the draft.
How hard is it for you right now just to not be with your teammates and to not be, you know, working on routes with Kelvin or working on your protections, whatever it is?
I mean, that's crazy because, like, me and Terry and Kelvin through this morning, you know, the quarterbacks and I and the centers, we go over our protections on every Thursday. We have a protection meeting. You know, a so-called Darius, a call Lane, and a call Big Mo. You know, AP shoots me a text. And, I mean, it's not the same not being in the building, but, you know, I mean, I miss my guys, so I always try to reach out to them, give them a FaceTime call or something, let them know I'm thinking about them, and, you know, really looking forward to it this year.
Do you feel like you and this team are going to be able to hit the ground running?
I mean, we, you know, Coach Rivera is building a culture, and I feel like it's going to sustain, and whether it's this year or next year, no expectations of what we can do, but we know that we can do it. So, you know, we're just excited. We don't have any goals as far as, you know, what we want to do until coach tells us. So we're just working as hard as we can right now.
So I had a scene in my head. Tell me if this is right. I don't know if you saw this, but Coach Rivera did an interview, and at the end of the interview, he got asked, hey, was Tua ever really an option? And Ron was like, no, not really. And in my head, I could just see you like, I told you guys.
Oh, man. I didn't even really see that until someone sent it to me. I tried to stay off looking at the article and headlines and stuff. But, I mean, throughout the whole process, Ron was just telling me to trust him. And, you know, I did. So it worked out.
You feel good going forward?
Yeah, I feel really confident. I mean, having guys that believe in me, I think we're going to have a good year this year.
I get asked about you all the time, and my stance is I think Dwayne's going to come out and kick the MFing door down. Like, this is your chance. You know, that's how I see it.
That energy, definitely, I feel that energy, man. I definitely have the urgency right now that I'm itching, so I don't want to say too much.
I hear you. One more time, I think the work you're doing with Pepsi and being stronger together, and you're just trying to promote positivity for everyday people doing during this crazy time, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, going to the hospitals, giving back to the community, giving people opportunities to win money, and just, you know, just appreciate people. I mean, Ms. BJ, who works at the front office for us, that works the gate every day. I mean, she works all day and then goes work another job in the grocery store, and she just never complains, always smiles, and, you know, those people need to be valued, and I appreciate them. You know, I go out of my way to say hi to those people every day when I'm either in a grocery store or you know, I see somebody working that, you know, is just having a hard time right now. So I always try to put a smile on someone's face.
Dude, I worry about Miss BJ. She's always carrying those big boxes. And I'm like, Miss BJ, it's literally a building
full
of
football
players.
Hey, she's been doing it for like 30 years, bro. She's strong.
So I see the lion behind you, and I know that you're a lion guy and Simba and all that. What's up with the Tom Brady portrait?
Man, I would take you downstairs to my basement and show you all the murals I have, but – I mean, I just have like significant moments in like my life where I just, you know, wanted to document them, you know, just put it on the wall so it feels real, and, you know, important quotes and things like that. And, you know, meeting Tom and him sharing the words he shared with me, and, you know, him being a fan of me, even though despite being a TTUN alum, and, you know, something that I just had to put up on there, man. I mean, I watched Tom versus Time going into my last year of college and just studied him and how he operated, you know, what he did as far as, you know, training and his regimen and how he talked to his receivers. And you have to respect him. So that's why I put him on my wall like that.
Who else is on the wall?
I mean, I got Kobe. I trained at Mamba Sports Academy. I got him up on there. I got, like, my favorite rappers, actors on one side of the wall. I got a Muhammad Ali mural. I got a mural of me versus TTUN. My last game at the Horseshoe when we scored 62 points. Never been scored on them before. Had 6 touchdowns that game. So I had those important moments in my life. So I got him up on the wall.
All right, how does my wall look? I got Hank Aaron jersey and John Wayne.
And the man cave corner is dope, JP.
We're trying, man. We're trying. I got 2 little girls in the house, so slowly everything has become Elsa and Frozen in the rest of the house.
Oh, man, that's tough, bro. I'm praying for you.
I appreciate it. Dwayne, I appreciate your time. Sincerely, man. Thank you. Keep up the great work in the community. That stuff really matters, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
That was awesome. And I really enjoyed that interview. Actually, hold on. I have bacon in the oven.
I mean, I feel like we have to leave this in. Hold on. I have bacon cooking.
Hold on. I have bacon in the oven. I thought you were out on bacon.
I like it at lunch. You can leave this in if you want. I don't care. Big thank you to Dwayne Haskins for coming on the podcast. I thought it was very cool. He and I are cool with each other. So I think we didn't have to – there wasn't much like dance there. We kind of just started talking, and I think that was good. My biggest takeaway from that conversation is that he's comfortable. And last year, I don't know that he was comfortable. Maybe by December, maybe by like Christmas time, I think he was starting to really kind of figure things out. Whereas right now, it seems like he's in a very different spot. And the stuff that stood out to me was when I brought up the Tua stuff and he just said, you know, Ron told me to believe in him and I've got people that believe in me and we're all growing. And it just seems like there's cohesion and everybody's moving forward together. And I think to circle back to the schedule talk, I don't think they're going 8-8, but when you hear, if he can start to perform at a high level, everything changes, right? Because defensively, we think they can improve. Offensively, we don't know what the heck's going to happen. And right or fair or unfair, the bulk of that is on Dwayne Haskins. And he seems ready to shoulder the load and be a leader and be a playmaker. So I came out of that interview quite enthusiastic to see him, I guess, and happy for him. He just seems in a way better place. What'd you think, Mitchell?
Only reason I said it was the second biggest is I think Dan Snyder would be the biggest interview for us to pull Redskins-wise. That okay. Being said, as a player, Dwayne's definitely the biggest. I almost paired what you said about him being comfortable, but more so talking about his demeanor and kind of the way that he was acting kind of during the interview and as we talked to him. Astute listeners have heard us say it a million times, the way that Dwayne is away from the podium at Redskins Park and the times that we've spent with him last year before he was drafted, I was out in L.A. working out with, you know, going through his workouts, and he's much more relaxed. He's personable. He's open. He's kind of a relaxed kid. And sometimes last year, I think we saw him at the podium and in group interview sessions, and he was very robotic, and we could see that he didn't seem comfortable, to JP's point. And as much as that comfort on the football side of things with trusting Ron and all that. I think him being comfortable, you know, in his skin and in his position with the team and kind of the way he is, I think it goes a long way too. And when he's able to relax and just sit back and sling the football, I think that's when we're going to see the best out of Dwayne. And as he talked about, you know, all the different murals and stuff that he had in his basement and moments that he's taken as, you know, as inspiration, you know, he was loose talking about beating up on Michigan and, you know, hey, we dropped 6 touchdowns on that day. That's the Dwayne that we've kind of gotten to know away right. from, you know, away from an interview setting. So to see him like that, even though, you know, it was just kind of one-on-one with JP, I think was a nice step forward for him.
Lord knows we've rated press conferences plenty of times, so that it's a valid point. And I think it's more important that he's comfortable in the building, knowing his coaches, knowing where he stands, than it is comfort talking to us. But it's a legit point.
Yeah, definitely more relaxed. But I also, on the flip side, like that he used the word urgency, saying that's how he feels about this year. So it's good that he's in this mode where he's more himself. And Ron Rivera's done everybody some good. He's done us some good. We feel like there's a new start here for the Redskins, and Dwayne is clearly feeling that. But it's still a massive, massive year for him, and I'm glad he's aware of the opportunity, because we were kind of worried, will Kyle Allen arriving mess him up? Will all the Tua talk mess him up? But now Dwayne's centered, he's ready to go, and he's aware that the 16 games or however many games he gets in 2020 could really influence where his career goes, and he's fully present and ready to seize it, I think.
Yeah. See, I agree. And I feel bad that they can't be in the building, that he can't be with his guys every day and showing this new, you know, not new, but like every evolution of your career. I mean, we all have those, and different, you know, an accountant probably gets better 20 years after doing taxes, you know, like everybody evolves. And I think it seems like Dwayne is really in a good place, I think.
Well, I think you look – I mean, we talked ad nauseum about how poor of a situation he was in last year. And quarterbacks in the NFL are talk so much about how much they grow from year one to year two. And I think him talking about reaching out to the other guys on – you know, the other guys on the team, not even just on offense, texting, FaceTiming, all that kind of stuff. I think you're seeing him, again, going back through that comfort of his position and you know, knowing that the starting quarterback needs to be the guy who brings everyone together and reaches out to the Adrian Petersons of the world, as well as Kelvin Harmon and Wes Martin and Morgan Moses and whoever else it is, just to, you know, kind of keep touch with them, keep base with them, and let everyone know that they're, you know, that he's there with them.
Yeah, I'm glad he's doing that, because you hear so often from every critic or pundit how a quarterback needs to be the guy who, when he walks in the building, everybody's aware of his arrival. Well, like JP said, there literally is no building for Dwayne to walk into. So hopefully he's coming up with different ways to kind of assert himself. And it seems like initiating meetings and checking in on guys is a good way to do it. So I'm glad he's following through in that way, at least.
Yeah. I think the mural stuff was pretty cool. That was a good idea by Mitch to ask about. I think getting him talking about the two rookies was pretty cool. So we've had a good run of interviews in the last couple of months here. That, I think, is my favorite. Urban Meyer was really cool, because that was also unexpected. You know, that was just cool to land him. But I think, I don't know, I think that is the best one of quarantine. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dwayne is the most impactful one that we've gotten. I mean, the most important one.
Well, impact, yeah, us in 2020 the most.
Right.
Urban is obviously a bigger figure, but he's not playing or coaching here.
Right. With the Dwayne thing, real quick, he kind of glossed over it, but he and Chase Young talked about playing together. You know, they've had those conversations back when they were both at Ohio State, and over the past year, that was cool to see. Yeah, I agree. I think Dwayne's probably the best one we've gotten in this since we've had to all sit at home.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now just from our recent pods. Mitch and Stefania Bell was probably my favorite content-wise about Alex Smith, but my favorite one, just kind of flex-wise, was when we got Terry McLaurin and Ryan Day in the same room on the second night of the draft. That was really cool, too.
That was very cool. Good points. There's been a lot of good
– it's been dizzying.
Kendall Fuller was a good one.
Yeah.
You know, like right away after he
– I tell you, you know what the
– Oh, underrated?
Well, like I'm going to say the coolest moment, I think, was Antonio Gibson draft night. when he started, when his mom came in and talked about the grandmother being buried with a Redskins jersey. I mean, that was, that was a complete surprise out of nowhere. Even to get the interview that night was out of nowhere. And then for all that, some real emotion was cool. So yeah, there's been a lot of them, but the Dwayne one is the most important or impactful, whatever word Mitchell used was good. I like that Congo hat, Mitch. I probably played the worst round of golf. I lost four balls in the first three holes.
Can we dive into this more? I'm so into hearing, because like, it's so relatable. We all suck at golf. I've now accepted that I suck at golf. I'm not going to try and be good anymore. I'm just going to be a hack who has a couple good shots around. What was wrong? Just everything for you?
Dude,
did the swing feel funky?
Yeah, it's bad. And the worst part is I know the problem and am incapable of fixing
it. Right. That's so always the problem.
Yanking, I'm pulling everything way through to like third base when you're supposed to swing to first base. And I know it, and I'm still doing it. And so just everything is going left. Just everything is going left. And I know how I got there. I mean, for years I've been battling the slice. So I finally have overcome the slice. And then there was like a 3-week window where I played okay.
Right. And then
now it's left. So that effing game is maddening.
Do we have a score estimate or a total score from yesterday, or do you not want to share it?
I didn't have the card. Dave has the card. There's no way it was under 100.
Yeah.
No chance.
I played the other day too. I shot a 104, and it was the best 104 ever because it just felt so damn good to be out walking around, play around the golf. Like, you know, you're walking with your buddies and you're talking and you're obviously away from each other and whatnot, but I was so happy. The sun was shining. It was a good day.
I shot, let's say it was a 105. F it. Let's say it was a 110. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It was that high, but whatever. I played awful. It was kind of raining the whole time. I lost $18 and just rounded up and gave him a 20. And it was still an excellent Friday afternoon. My wife was mad at me. Like, nothing went right, and I still loved it.
Yeah.
Got to check the bacon.
Yeah, I played on Thursday. And as golf always does, I played terrible. I shot a 56 on the front. And holes 13 and 14, I went birdie, birdie. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm in on golf for the rest because –
yeah,
I played terrible, had two great shots, and that's all I needed to come back.
Mitch specializes in the, like, really awful front nine. This guy's never played golf before, and then he just somehow flips it on. Something happens at halftime. He's the anti-Jay Gruden. He makes adjustments and comes out guns a-blazing, so I'm glad you had a couple birdies there. But, yeah, that's golf, man. You suck, and you're miserable, and then for two shots, it's good.
No, I had a couple par.
I can't tell if JP's talking to us or talking to
Jake. Yeah, I don't know either.
Talking to you.
All right, he's talking to us.
To be fair, my halftime adjustment is usually like downing a beer or a transfusion or something along those lines and turning things around. So, and honestly, so we were playing some modified version of a game for like a buck. Mm-hmm. And on the 13th hole, we upped it to $3. And then I went birdie, birdie, and the guys were just like all like, you were sandbagging us the whole time, just waiting up. Sometimes I just need a little juice in the game, a little skin in the game to get turned on.
Speaking of sandbagging, my brother-in-law actually is a sandbagger, and we've since figured it out. He didn't know how handicap worked. So he usually shoots about 90, like 89, 92, somewhere right there. So I thought he had like legitimately done his handicap, but he just has been putting his scores in, but just figured he was an 18 because he's 18 strokes over par on average. And we were like, no, dude, you're like probably a 13 or a 14. Sure enough, when he got home last night, he like checked the actual website. He was like, yeah, I'm a 14.4. Sorry. So he's been getting strokes that he doesn't deserve for some time now.
Here's I have one quick golf hypothetical. If you could lock in for the rest of your golf career, you shoot between like a 92 and a 95, basically every time you play, or you continue to play like us where it's like a 98, but every once in a while you'll scoop down to like an 86 or something. What are you choosing?
Scoop down every.
Yeah, the 100%. Lock-in number needs to be lower. But like, dude, if I can lock in.
You would have killed for a 92 yesterday when you're losing balls left and right.
Yeah, that's true. I still think I'd rather.
It is more fun to kind of have the really hot days, though, because it gives you hope for the next 10 years. Like, all right, if I have that in my bag, like, I might be onto something.
Right. So,
all right, speaking of onto something, we got to get off of this. I hope you guys enjoyed the Haskins interview. We're going around the NFC East later in the week. We're going to catch up with all our bureau chiefs in Philadelphia, New York, and Dallas, and see what the heck's going on in those buildings, or not buildings, those virtual workspaces. But thank you to Haskins. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the same thing. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Mediocre with flashes.
Ooh, that might be the best one.
That describes the Redskins Talk podcast right there.
Yeah, it does.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.